is Mark Weber? He's a self-made business executive here to help you find your success. From the New York City projects to the Avenue Montaigne in Paris, his global success story in the luxury world of fashion is inspirational. He's gone from clerk to CEO twice. Mark is classic proof that the American dream is alive and well. Here's your host of Always in Fashion, Mark Weber.
I was there to push people beyond what's expected of them. I believe that is an absolute necessity. Otherwise, we're depriving the world of the next Louis Armstrong, the next Charlie Parker. I told you that story about how Charlie Parker became Charlie Parker, right?
Joe Jones threw a cymbal at his head.
Exactly. Parker's a young kid, pretty good on the sax, gets up to play at a cutting session, and he f***s it up. And Jones nearly decapitates him for it. And he's laughed off stage. Cries himself to sleep that night, but the next morning, what does he do? He practices. And he practices and he practices with one goal in mind, never to be laughed at again. And a year later, he goes back to the Reno, and he steps up on that stage and he plays the best motherfucking solo the world has ever heard. So imagine if Jones had just said, well, that's okay, Charlie. That was all right. Good job. And Charlie thinks to himself, well, I did do a pretty good job. End of story. No bird. That to me is an absolute tragedy. There are no two words in the English language more harmful than good job.
This is Mark Weber. This is Always in Fashion. And this is business. And tonight, I have a question. Who am I to argue whether good is good enough? But I'm going to, because I don't believe good is good enough. I know the difference between excellence and everything else. I know class from no class. First class from schmuck class. Chicken salad from chicken s***. I know fashionable from unfashionable. Taste from tasteless. Style from no style. Hard work from no work. Smart versus not so. I know the difference between good and great. I learned so much from people who wanted the best, demanded exceptionalism. And if there's one thing I know good is not good enough. Now, in this world, you're competing against greatness. Don't ever forget it. When you're competing against people who set the highest standards, from companies that dare to be special, with leaders who know good is not good enough, as you just heard. Where would we be without the highest standards being set, without the people from every walk of life striving to be different? People setting new levels, raising the bar. Where would we be without our heroes who knew good wasn't good enough, who knew only through hard work, dedication, practice, desire, that they could be great, and they changed our world? From Michael Jordan.
I missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to take the game-winning shot and missed. I've failed over and over and over again in my life. And that is why I succeed.
Tiger Woods in golf.
The day after Tiger won the 2000 PGA Championship, he was right here on the range practicing.
There's always someone out there who was better than me growing up. Whether it was a kid in Southern California when I was competing in junior golf, then I went into national junior golf. There's always someone better than me. and amateur golf, there's always someone better than me. Now you get into professional golf, when I first started, there's always people better than me. And even now, to this day, there are people who are better than me in different facets of the game. And I watch and I analyze and I'll try and learn to try and make my game even better. So there's always, I'm always trying to get a little bit better. You always, I guess you're greedy in a sense.
From business, Steve Jobs.
The thing I would say is, when you grow up, you tend to get told that the world is the way it is, and your life is just to live your life inside the world, try not to bash into the walls too much, try to have a nice family life, have fun, save a little money. But life, that's a very limited life. Life can be much broader once you discover one simple fact, and that is everything around you that you call life was made up by people that were no smarter than you. And you can change it. You can influence it. You can build your own things that other people can use. And the minute that you understand that you can poke life and actually something will, you know, if you push in, something will pop out the other side, that you can change it, you can mold it. That's maybe the most important thing.
From Hollywood, funny man turned serious actor, Jim Carrey.
My father could have been a great comedian, but he didn't believe that that was possible for him. And so he made a conservative choice. Instead, he got a safe job as an accountant. And when I was 12 years old, he was let go from that safe job. And our family had to do whatever we could to survive. I learned many great lessons from my father, not the least of which was that you can fail at what you don't want. So you might as well take a chance on doing what you love.
From politics, JFK changing our world.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
And later on, it was Ronald Reagan.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I believe. My world, I've never accepted good. You've heard me time and again talk my principles on business and life. In fashion, there's no substitute for good taste. In executing a job, well done is better than well said. In visioning, behind every person with vision, there are 50 well-intentioned people undermining that vision. Personally, I've done a show, and I've said I don't know if I'm smart, but I know I'm well-trained. And in politics, common sense is not so common. I learned so much from people who knew good enough was the enemy of great. I worked for and with people who didn't settle for good enough, who could see and understood that whoever would accept that that's just okay, it's as good as it gets, in spite of Jack Nicholson in one of the world's great movies, it could always be better. Tonight I'm thinking about being great by recognizing that I want to discuss good isn't good enough. Speaking about great, getting some of the seriousness aside, is Jesse Weber, my great son. How are you, Jesse?
Well, what an introduction that is. Thank you.
I work on them every week.
I can tell.
I got to bring you in the right way.
I should write my own introductions.
Well, you can take a stab at it, okay?
Well, that was pretty good.
Okay, my favorite question to you. What do you think of this topic?
Wouldn't it be funny if I said, it's not good, it's great? I do think what I love about it, and I say this every week, is you take a topic that applies to everybody. And again, our show, you always say it, is always in fashion, but it's really the topics we talk about applies to anybody in any business, in any kind of career. And it's funny you should say this, talking about don't settle for good, settle for great, because as you know, I'm on air outside of here. I'm on television constantly. You can't be on TV and get recurring roles or be memorable if you're just good or you just do the minimum to pass. And
well,
what
do you do to be great?
That's the question, isn't it? So when I'm on TV for Fox or CNN, and even when I host my show Law and Crime, I can say what the law is, I can say what the information is, but I'm not a dictionary. Why don't I come out and add personality? Why don't I say the information in a different way? You can have one fact and 10 people can say it in a different way. And not only that, and this I'll say more than anything, you have to research. You have to be prepared. You have to be. You do not want to stumble on national television. You don't want to look like you don't know what you're talking about. You want to be in control of a topic.
Hey, the other day you were on Fox. What show was that?
I was on America's News Headquarters.
They asked you a question about documents or something. I had no idea what you were talking about, yet you look like you had it cold.
I'm a good actor. I don't know what I was talking about either.
Yeah, I got to believe you didn't have that at the top of your head. You weren't thinking about that all day long before they asked the question.
Little known secret, you get the topic maybe an hour, 2 hours before. But here's the beauty about being an attorney. You know how to research. It's not just about looking up the story. It's anticipating what the questions are that you're going to be asked. And it's not about being good. It's about being great.
And with that as a backdrop, tonight's show, Good Isn't Good Enough, being that the name of the show is called Always in Fashion. Maybe we start off tonight with some fun stories about style. I have my style. I didn't always, but I worked on it. I perfected it. For me, it's perfect. It's my idea of style that's great, not just good. I start by asking myself, how do I look the best? And over the course of time, I learned on what I looked the best in, and I dressed to that. At the same time, I ask myself, what is the image I want to project? Tonight, after the show, we're going out to a nice restaurant, so I'm dressed really well. Shirt, tie, sport coat, pants. I look right. I've always thought about the message I'm trying to tell for the occasion I want to tell. Now, my style and my clothes, I've always looked for timeless things. I don't want to look like a fashion guy today. I want things that'll look good forever. And when I shop, I look for forever pieces. Whether they're the perfect denim jacket or the perfect denim shirt, my black suede shoes, the perfect navy blue suit. It's springtime. I'm into white. I'm into tan. Always looking for the right colors. My accessories, always a Rolex watch. Having said that, I have a sense of style. I know how I want to look. It's always classic. I'm always finding pieces or items that will stay with me forever. I'd be depressed if my black suede shoes went out of style. I'd also be poor. I have about 50 pair. But it's always simple.
You're boring is more like it. You're always in boring fashion. You need some variety in there.
I'll throw in a navy blue shirt now and then, but no, I
cartoon
have my
character.
Style.
Cartoon character.
What does that mean?
It means anytime you see, you're wearing the same outfit.
You mean like Popeye?
Yeah.
He's always in the same
clothes?
You got
a standard uniform. I don't know if I ever mentioned it. I made a bobblehead of you once in your classic outfit. Black V-neck sweater, white undershirt, white pants. It's hilarious because when I gave it to you, you were wearing that exact outfit.
I remember. Well, listen, there's no experimenting for me. That's just the way it is. And I'm not telling anyone out there that should be there. I'm explaining my sense of style. Over time, maybe I'll unpack the concept a little further, but for now, that's not what it's about. It's about good is not good enough. Yeah, I could let up on this one. I could be sloppy. I could be uneducated to perfection. Yeah, I could make it easier on myself. I could just go with the flow and whatever is there, I'll wear. But then again, good isn't good enough. And I want to tell you a story. In my life, I've been nominated for a number of awards. There are some big awards in the fashion industry, of which I accepted two. The Fashion Fund, the Young Men's and Women's Association of America that gives out scholarships, made me the man of the year. I accepted the award. I wore a black tie that night, formal tuxedo, beautiful bow tie, great shirt. I looked the part. The second award I accepted was the American Apparel and Footwear Association, huge black tie fair. Then I've been nominated for humanitarian awards. And unfortunately, I had to turn them down because I don't like humans. I don't like people. I thought it was disingenuous to get an award for Humanitarian of the Year when I don't like humans. But one of my favorite stories was I was nominated for the Man of the Year for the Boy Scouts of America. I want you to go on your iPhone and look up Boy Scouts of America, see what they look like. They used to have a major affiliation with the luxury retail and apparel industry, and here I am, I'm being offered this award as Man of the Year. Now, I had been to these events before, and I knew what to expect. And when they offered me the award, I was flattered. I thought right away, would it be good for my company? Would it be good for me? And how would my family react? The right things, I would think. It raises money. The event, people come. They contribute charitable donations and bolster the Boy Scouts of America. There's only one problem. You get those pictures there, Jez?
Yeah, the outfits are awful.
Yeah, the Smokey the Bear hat.
Yeah, the tan.
And the scarf around the neck.
It's a horrible look.
All right, here's the deal. So as I said, I had been to these events before, and the Man of the Year, when he got his award, would always have to put on the hat and the scarf.
That, we knew that wasn't going to happen.
So when they offered me the award, the head of the company that asked me if I would stand up for be honored, I said, absolutely, except I have one question. Do I have to wear the hat and the scarf? And they said, yes. I said, I won't do it. I said, what do you mean you won't do it? I said, listen to me. I could live to be 100 years old, and whenever someone looks at me on the internet, I'm going to be standing there in that stupid hat and scarf. I can't do it. I turned down the award.
I'm not surprised. I would probably do the same thing.
Well, the point is I knew my image. I knew how I wanted to look, and I would never accept okay. It would be good. I want to be great. Good is never good enough. There's my style tip. But I have one more. A number of years ago, I had a sport injury. I needed surgery on my arm. I had to go in. When I got to the operating room, all the nurses were there and the aides wearing these stupid uniforms. But what got me was the hats. You know those big hats that they put over their hair that look like shower hats?
Yeah, it's so their hair doesn't fall into the patients while they're operating.
How doofusy do they look? They look ridiculous.
I don't think they're going on a runway with the hats. It's for purposes.
Okay. So I said, I walked in and they were going to give me one of those hats to put on. I said, I'm not wearing that hat. I'm not going in surgery. You're not putting me under that hat. I got to look cool. I got to feel the part.
Would you wear a tuxedo?
So they said, you have to wear this hat. I look at the two surgeons who are going to be in the room, and they got this cool thing that ties around their neck. They look like movie stars. Those guys are the rock stars in the operating room. So I said to them, that's the hat I want to wear. They said, that's the surgeon's hat. I said, that's the hat I'm going to wear, or otherwise I'm not going in. I said, you have no choice. Doctor. How are you? Listen, I'm nervous. I want to go under the knife. I know you have to do it. I want one of the hats that you're wearing. Otherwise, I can't do it. 2 seconds later, I'm wearing the hat, and I went into surgery looking cool and feeling cool. Good is not good enough. That's the theme of tonight's show. And with that, I'll take a break. We'll be back. Good isn't good enough. We'll talk some more.
Always in fashion.
This is Mark Whipple. This is Always in Fashion. In 1998, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Taryn Rose brought comfort to the world of luxury shoes. She was trained as a surgeon and knew that women deserved to feel comfortable in their shoes and developed shoes that were designed to make the human body comfortable. She partnered with design experts and tech innovation to create a collection of shoes that looked beautiful and yet they were incredibly comfortable. Taryn Rose footwear is about luxurious materials, sophisticated silhouettes, and comfort. They feature innovative comfort technology. Ladies, you want to be comfortable in your shoes. You want to be safe in your shoes. But more importantly, you want to look great in your shoes. Taryn Rose, developed by this brilliant surgeon. The Taryn Rose woman is refined and refuses to sacrifice comfort for style, or for that matter, style for comfort. These shoes are perfect for women who think on their feet, but not about their feet. Discover the latest Taryn Rose collection at TarynRose.com. Taryn Rose, the luxury of comfort.
Welcome back to Always in Fashion. Here's your host, Mark Weber.
Thank you. This is Mark Weber. And tonight's discussion, am I good enough? What does that even mean? Am I good enough? Good enough is never good enough. Good enough isn't good enough. And that's the theme of tonight's show. You just heard the theme for the good, the bad, and the ugly. It got me thinking. I don't know why I'm in the mood for fashion. Maybe because I have a background in it. In this world, a little business sense here, you're competing against the best. From the beginning of time, man struggled to be the strongest, survival of the fittest. Nothing's changed. It hasn't changed. It's camouflaged. And in business and in life, certainly in fashion and luxury, we're competing for our place in the world. And good enough isn't good enough. You don't win being just good. Or more importantly, you don't win with an attitude that's good enough. While you're being lazy, right next to you, someone is focusing on excellence. They want to be flawless. And frankly, they want to be great. They will win. They will survive. They are daring to be great while you're settling. I never settle for anything. Settling never leads to anything positive. Tonight, good isn't good enough. It's been a while since I took you into the fashion boardroom, or time to show you again behind the scenes what's going on, like the Wizard of Oz. It's been a long time since I've been in a product room designing product. The dynamics of creating products is a creative, unique, difficult, complicated environment. It requires drive, creativity, a knowledge of what will work and what the consumer will want. From what we drink, to what we eat, to what we use, to what we watch on TV or in the movies, even here on radio, it's a challenge to think about what you want to hear. To what we drive, to what we wear. Every single company in one of these fields, from soft drinks and wine and spirits, to packaged foods in restaurants, to technology, to cell phones, to automobiles, every single company is striving to be great. They should know, and the best do know, that good isn't good enough. Every company must develop the best product they can, in a unique package, with a concept designed to convince us they are the best, that we need what they're offering, even if we don't. I never settle for product. I have never settled for product in a creative environment, in a design room, ever, anywhere. It's so easy to settle. It's just one dress. It's just one suit. Oh, these shoes, they aren't so special. I'm tired. I'm running out of energy. No one's watching. No one cares. Yeah, it's easy to settle. Give in. Look the other way. Not me. Certainly never when it came to product. Good is never good enough. Good isn't good enough. Your competition knows this. Your competitor knows this. Well, let me take you into the situation. Unpack it a bit. Jesse, you liking this one?
Yeah, I mean, if product is not key, there's nothing else there. You always say product's the first and most important thing.
Some people say it's marketing. You know,
how do you market a bad product?
People do.
Like what?
That stupid pillow.
Oh, also, what are the things they wear in the Crocs?
Crocs.
There you go.
You ever try that pillow?
We should name my pillow?
Yeah.
Mommy loves that.
Okay. Well, Crocs. I thought about running for president of the United States. You know that, right? I don't know if I've ever told the audience.
You wanted to run for president of the United States?
Yeah, no. For one reason. I wanted to outlaw Crocs and sandals on men. Before I get into the product room, I have to tell you a story. Yesterday.
By the way, we lost Crocs as a sponsor.
Good. I wouldn't have them as a sponsor. With all due respect to them, but that's what triggered what I was thinking about before I go back to the product room. I had some time to kill last night. I went to Saks Fifth Avenue, get off on the sixth floor, which is the one of the men's floors, right? I get off the elevator. I'm starting to walk into the men's department. Armani and Polo are right
right there. Some guy is standing, he's on his phone. I noticed him. He's dressed really well. And then I look down at his feet. You know, I want to see what kind of shoes he's wearing. He's wearing those slip-on leather shoes my mother used to wear with a house coat to take out the garbage. I wanted to throw up.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, I really wanted to throw up. I said, if this is what's happening now, I'm finished. I got so upset, I almost went up to him. So anyway, I took the curve around Saks. I liked it there. Ended up walking into the Ralph's section. The guy knew who I was. Said he saw me on TV. He knew who I was. And he said, no, I have your radio show. I listen. I said, really?
There you go.
He said, you're the second sighting I've ever had. The first one was in Apple. It was amazing.
What was he wearing on his feet? Sneakers?
He was dressed very well. He was dressed very well. The guy from Apple recognized me from my voice. When he asked me my name for the product I was buying, he said, are you the guy on radio? That was the biggest day of my life. I called you all right from then
that
and there.
That was cool.
Yeah, it was very cool. Very cool. Anyway, I walked around the Saks circle. It's set up in a circle. And I get to the Brioni area. And I get to the Brioni area. There's a friendly guy dressed impeccably. Royal blue suit like the one you wore on TV the other day. Beautiful mm-hmm. matching royal tie. Light blue shirt. I look down. He's wearing beach freaking sandals without socks.
I don't know if that's even weirder than the one that was wearing the other shoes.
I couldn't take it. So I looked at him and I said, hey, man, you're a great looking guy. I said, you're dressed well. I can't believe you're wearing sandals without socks. You should be embarrassed. He looked at me. He didn't know what to make of it. I said, look, I spend my life. I was in this industry. And I told him where I worked, and he knew the guy I worked for at LVMH. I said, you can't walk around like that. You're killing it. Guy next to him dressed really well. And he started laughing his head off. He said, no one would tell him that but you. He says, it is a disgusting look. He said, listen, I'm sorry. I'm going to go change my shoes. I didn't believe him, but I actually had the courage to tell him that. I thought it was hysterical. So for you out there, you want to look cool, no sandals, no Crocs, no socks.
Don't settle.
Whatever those slip-ons things were, man, I wanted to smack that guy. All right, Jesse, where was I? I forgot.
You were in the design room.
Yes, I was talking about product. I never settle for product. And I was just to tell you that I haven't been in the design room for a while, but I used to spend a lot of time. I critiqued. I still did every way in my career. I critiqued the lines of the designers, including the stuff that Donna Karan would do, although less so in her case because she was a master. But anyway, the dynamics of that room, let me set it up for you. I'll take you behind the scenes and how it works. People have worked very hard developing and perfecting their ideas. Someone's about to present these products for approval, for sign-off, for production, for sale, for investment. They're not inconsequential meetings. This is the livelihood of the company, and these people put it on the line to develop these products. It's daunting. It's nerve-wracking. It's a test, though, of human nature. But it's my responsibility to make sure that it's not just good, because good isn't good enough. So we're there. Everyone is there. People from sales, merchandising, management, lots of people, lots of assistants. Everyone's smiling. Everyone's hoping for an easy meeting. Everyone wants to make sure that it's an easy day. You're in, you're out, no extra work. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I got to tell you something about me. We all have skills. I wrote in my book, once in my life I was brilliant. I do have one thing that I'm brilliant at. You bring me into a room, I look at product hanging on the walls or hanging on racks, and in 10 seconds, maybe I'm exaggerating, 30 seconds, I know if it's good or great. I just do. I have the skill. I can't explain it, but I know if it's good or great. And now, I'm most times, more than not, a seeing either not good or good, but not great. And I view myself as someone who has the ability to help them make it great. Now, what if I settled? Let's take it easy. No one's watching. No one's going to know the difference. I'll tell you what happens. Here's the but. You don't have the spark. The product doesn't sell right out of the box. It's on the floor and it's sitting there. Your competition next to you is selling and outperforming you. You start to have backup in your inventory. There's too much of it on the floor. When you put retail inventory out, call it a 10-week supply. If the first 2 weeks don't sell, You only have 8 weeks left to sell 10 weeks. So you're building up inventory. Now you have to put it on sale. You have to mark it down. That's costly. You're not making the money you planned for. The retailer doesn't want to hear about excuses. They will not accept too much inventory on the floor. You got a problem. Even though that retail customer you chose, they picked every style, it's your brand and your problem. And all they see are the numbers. And the numbers are down on all their reports. Then the retailer starts to plan the future seasons. And this is where it really gets problematic. Everything they do, retail buys in numbers. If you sold me $100,000 worth of product last year and you only sold 80 this year, I'm going to plan you at 80 or less. You're on a bad trend. And what happens then? The numbers are what your future is. And those growth plans you had, forget it. Your business is getting smaller, like it or not. Smaller means less profits. To fight against this, you have to lower your expenses. Making less money is not an option. You know all those people in the room who wanted to take the easy way out? Oh, they're out. They're looking for a job because you took the easy way, because you settled. Great is the only way to success. And because you didn't get great, you lost. Now, you may have come in second place, but second place is first place for losers. All because good is not good enough. I'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk some more.
Always in fashion.
This is Mark Weber. This is Always in Fashion. And my favorite shoe brand, Acquitalia. Acquitalia is a very interesting shoe brand. Made in Italy. That's where the Talia comes from. And Acqua, they're waterproof. This is a collection of men's and women's shoes that are not only contemporary and styled brilliantly, but they're also waterproof. So you guys and gals, you don't have to change your shoes in inclement weather. And I should tell you how comfortable they are. Not only are they fashion and style right, but they're comfortable. You can wear them wherever you go. Acquitalia designs are contemporary, yet there's a classic feel to them. They're easy to wear. They're elegant, yet they're for every day. High quality and low maintenance. The true foundation of timeless wardrobe. Something you could wear every day and not worry about it. Acquitalia is footwear that is made for discerning men and women who make bold moves and want to look their best without sacrificing fashion or comfort. You should explore the latest collection of Acquitalia.com. Acquitalia has amazing styles, beautiful fabrics, beautiful silhouettes. You should really look for them. You can find and explore Acquitalia's latest collection at Acquitalia.com or visit the flagship store at 965 Madison Avenue in Manhattan. Acquitalia, A-Q-U-A-T-A-L-I-A. Wherever the weather goes, they will take you. Made in Italy and waterproof. The best combination.
Welcome back to Always in Fashion. Here's your host, Mark Weber.
Downey wasn't in his room. Wasn't even there. That was an important piece of information, don't you think?
What possible good could come from putting Jessup on the stand?
He told Kendrick to order the code red.
He did? That's great. Why didn't you say so? And of course, you have proof of that.
Oh, I'm sorry, I keep forgetting. You were sick the day they taught law at law school.
You put him on the stand and you get it from him.
Oh, we get it from him. Yes, no problem. We get it from him. Colonel Jessup, isn't it true that you ordered the code red on Santiago?
Listen, we're all a little...
I'm sorry, your time's run out. What do we have for the losers, Judge? Well, for our defendants, it's a lifetime at exotic Fort Leavenworth. And for defense counsel Kathy, that's right, it's a court-martial! Yes, Johnny! After falsely accusing a highly decorated Marine officer of conspiracy and perjury, Lieutenant Kathy will have a long and prosperous career teaching typewriter maintenance at the Rocco Colombo School for Women. Thank you for playing. Should we or should we not follow the advice of the galactically stupid?
And speaking about galactically stupid, this is Mark Weber telling you tonight that good is not good enough. I think about it all the time. People settling. I never settle. I think about people taking the easy way out. There is no easy way out. In this world, you want to survive? You have to be great. Good isn't good enough. And that's a theme of tonight's show. In law, can you afford to be less than thorough, Jesse?
No, for a lot of different reasons. One, the most important reason is when you swear to become a lawyer, you swear to do as much as you can for your client, do the best of your abilities. And doing a half job really isn't that. Plus, you want to win the case. You want to win your argument. You have to research. You have to know everything. And I've said it before. You have to know what the other side is going to argue. You have to know what you might be asked. You have to be prepared from every single angle. Otherwise, you're going to lose.
Well, thank you for that. Tonight's show, I'm trying to illustrate how important it is to recognize that good isn't good enough. This is survival of the fittest. You want to survive, you gotta be on your game. There's no easy way out. And I was thinking about a concept that came up called due diligence. You know what due diligence is, Jess?
It's like homework.
Ah, very good. We're going to talk about that. I'm going to read it to you from the dictionary. It's an investigation of a business or person prior to signing a contract or an act with a certain standard of care. A common example of due diligence in various industries, the process through which a potential acquirer evaluates a target company or its assets for an acquisition. Due diligence is homework. Jesse said it right. Jesse, you stole my thunder.
Sorry, I did my due diligence.
There you go. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Jesse pointed it out, and he's right. There's nothing more important than homework. I remember when I was a little kid, a child, and then all through college, did I hate that homework? Yes. Did I hate hearing homework was important? Yes. Did I do my homework? Reluctantly. But some things in life don't change. There's a reason for homework. When you get in the business world, homework, due diligence, being thorough, it's extraordinarily important. It's learning, it's preparation. And figuring tonight we're discussing good isn't good enough. It's the difference between having a successful you or not. What's going on? What will be going on? Anticipating the future and creating a plan. You would think the government would be thorough, wouldn't you? You would think a foreign government would be thorough. I hope no one's listening from the Swiss government. Because right now I want to talk about the Swiss pension plan. I met a company, and I met the guy responsible for managing the Swiss pension fund. The billions and billions of dollars that the Swiss pay in from their income, put in a fund for people to invest on behalf of the people. I ran into the head of the Swiss pension fund in all places, London. I was working with a company that was going bankrupt. I happened to admire their CEO. I had a good relationship with him. He overextended himself. He made some mistakes. But the end game here was he would come out of bankruptcy if I would allow him to, because he had the rights to one of my brands. And my brand is what made his company viable. And I had made a decision in my mind to let him go forward. During the course of these events, the bankruptcy court in London asked for a meeting. I had the meeting, and during my tenure and during the course of the conversations getting prepared for the proceedings, they mentioned to me that someone representing the Swiss pension fund wanted to take over the management of the brand for me. They, in fact, wanted me to discontinue my relationship with this man's company, the CEO I told you I liked. They wanted to fire him. They wanted to move it to another company that, lo and behold, was in the building that we were having the meeting. So I said, listen, I'm pretty happy where we are, but I do my due diligence. I do my homework. Absolutely want to meet this company. Now, the business I was running was a DKNY men's business. This is what it was. The partner who went bankrupt, he had the rights to that globally outside the United States. It's a complex business. All the different products you would imagine, pants, shirts, jackets, suits, ties, everything that a man could wear, shoes, handbags, etc. Great business, big business, and very, very fashionable. So anyway, I'm in the building. I agree to go meet the company. takes me up to this family-run business. Okay? These guys, he takes me up to, I don't remember the name of the company, it doesn't matter. They basically made men's underwear cheap, men's shirts cheap. And the head of the Swiss pension fund says, these are the guys we want you to give the business to. We have faith in them, et cetera, et cetera. I looked at them. I walked the hall again. I said, let me tell you what. Let me look around the offices again. I went and looked at the people in the cubby holes. I looked at what were they doing. I walked in their design studio, and I came back out and said, how big is this company? I said, they said to me, it's about $25 million, but with you, they can grow dramatically. I said, my business alone is $50 million, and it's in every product category that these people don't know. Are you crazy? I said, with all due respect, I understand you're running the Swiss pension fund and you're looking out for their money. I have to look out for my company's money. Didn't you do any homework? The guy was stuttering. He didn't know where to go. So I just didn't want to end it there. You know me, Jesse. I'm not easy, right?
No, you don't let anything slide, and you shouldn't.
So I said to him, do you know anything about me? And he was quiet. He said, well, I know you're the CEO of the LVMH and you're responsible for Donna Karan. What else do you know? Did you look me up on the internet? Did you ask anybody what I'm good at? The guy didn't have an answer. I said, let me tell you what I'm good at. I do my homework. It's called due diligence. I'm here looking around. You didn't bother to look at me. If you were to check me out, you know how serious I am and you would know how important product is to me. And this is unacceptable. And I refuse. Make a long story short, that's not the story. You want to talk about due diligence and winning and why you have to be good isn't good enough? You have to be great? I had my ducks in order. I was very organized. I had a point of view and I gave the business back. Unbeknownst to me, after I left London, the head of the Swiss pension fund went to Bernard Arnault, the CEO of LVMH, and told him that I acted inappropriately in not giving him that brand. Next thing I know, I get a call from the general counsel of Louis Vuitton Moët Hennessy, this $40 billion company, 62 brands at the time, operating in every country in the world. He gets on the phone. He said, Mark, I received a letter and a phone call from the head of Swiss Pension Fund. He's claiming you did not act appropriately in making this decision. Now, here's the point of the story, guys. Good isn't good enough. You got to be great. And I anticipated this. And everything I said, everything I did, I had all my ducks in a row. I had all my ideas thought out, thought through, and explained, which included a huge payout from the company that I decided to stay with and the confidence in that company. But if I hadn't done my due diligence, where would I have been? Because you have to recognize good isn't good enough. In this case, I was great. Good story, Jess.
Good story. Showed due diligence properly.
There you go. I have another one. You want another story?
Well, nah, I'm good.
Am I boring?
No, I just wanted to see your reaction.
Is this boring?
No.
Our engineer says it's not boring. I have a fun story while I'm on the subject of stories.
She works for us. She has to say it's not boring.
Yeah, she's not objective. Are you being objective?
No.
I'm an interesting guy, aren't I?
Very interesting.
Very interesting. One of my favorite stories of all time about due diligence, or the lack thereof, was at Donna Karan. I became the chairman and CEO, and I was charged with making the business grow and work. To my credit, part of what I did is I told the people from Louis Vuitton Moët Hennessy, who owned Donna Karan at the time, that when I go in there, I'm going to need a couple of months just to look at what's going on, and I'd like you to bear with me before I give you the ultimate solution. And because they are so strategic, they said to me, of course, Mark, we don't expect to hear from you until you have a detailed strategic plan on what you want to get done. So I took that time to really study what was going on in the company. So Donna Karan had told me she built one of the world's great companies, and she did, had the greatest people in the world. Everything was perfect. Everything was great. Every product was great. I got there. I understood why I was the third CEO in 6 years. I understood why I was the third CEO in 6 years. They needed a lot of things done. More than anything else, they needed discipline and they needed experience The guys who preceded me there at CEO, they were all great guys, but they didn't have the detailed experience that I did. As I've said to you before, I don't know if I'm smart, but I knew I was well-trained and I was ideal person to turn that company around. One of my favorite stories in doing due diligence is in talking to the people and listening, and that's when I came up with a term that I credit Ben Franklin for. It's his quote, "Well done is better than well said." I don't want to hear what people are going to do. I only want to see what they do. And we're talking about the meetings, and I noticed sell a lot of dresses, sell a lot of tops, but we didn't have a very good pant business. After talking about it, well, our prices, and the customer doesn't want pants, and pants are not in trend. I'm listening to all this. Finally, one young lady said to me, very timidly, "Our pants don't fit." I said, "What?" She says, "Our pants don't fit." I said, "What do you mean your pants don't fit?" Look, we make a lot of different kinds of pants. We make knit pants that are clingy. We make woven pants that are more rigid. Those of you who don't know what the difference is, that's another night and another lesson. But we don't have a fit that fits women well. I said, "How could that be? How could you, the Donna Karan Company, not have pants that fit?" "I don't know. We just probably never tackled it properly." "Why?" "Well, the business wasn't important enough." Did it ever occur to anyone that the business wasn't important enough because you didn't have pants that fit? I earned my keep that day. But I'll tell you what we did. You want to talk about homework and due diligence? There were 20 women in the room that day. I started every meeting at Donna Karan. "Hi, boys and girls." Oh, I'm the only guy. A lot of women in the Donna Karan Company. They were like Amazons. They were genius, great. And in women's apparel, they were brilliant. But for some reason, the pants didn't fit. 20 people, 20 women in the room. I looked at the head of production. I said, "I need you to do me a favor. We're going to create a capsule. We're going to create a test. We're going to fix our women's fit." And I said, "Here's what I'd like you to do. After I leave, I'm leaving now, I want you to get the size from everyone in this room. And then I want you to take two styles in women's knit pants and two styles in women's woven pants, stretch and rigid, two different kinds, and I want you to make two pair of each style for each one of these women in the room. And then each of you ladies, I'm going to ask that you in turn try these pants on and then go back to Julie," that was the name of the person who's head of production, "and tell her what's right or wrong with the pants." Month later, they all get their pants. Month later, they all give their comments. A month later, we have pants that fit women. And we sold the heck out of our pants. Pants became 20% of the DKNY business. Think about that. And most of it was incremental. Genius that day. All because I knew good wasn't good enough. With that, I'm going to take a break. We'll be back in a minute.
Always in fashion.
This is Mark Weber from Always in Fashion. I've talked to you before about the Van Heusen Flex Collar shirt, the shirt that moves with you when you move, the unbelievably comfortable Flex Collar expandable collar. I have great news from you from Van Heusen. They have now expanded from Flex Collars to an entire collection of men's sportswear, pants, knitwear, and of course the Flex Collar dress shirt. If you're a casual Friday company, you still have to look right. You're still in business. You're still competing with everyone else around you. Now you could do it in style and comfort. Pants with stretch fabric and stretch technology that allow you to be comfortable whatever your activities are that day. And all the shirts and all the sportswear that you can now buy under that Flex collection are uniquely you. Great looking style, great comfort from Van Heusen, the Flex collection. This is Mark Weber, and this is Always in Fashion. There is a brand called DKNY. It's Donna Karan, New York. I am familiar with it. I spent 9 years there as the CEO. If there's one thing I know about that brand, it's fashion and quality at the highest level. The products are sensational. The styling is great. You know, fashion comes and goes, but your style is forever. Having a collection of clothes that is right, that'll make you look correct at all times is so important. It's so important to the way you look. And it's very helpful when there's a collection that is on point. It's modern, It's contemporary. It tells the world that you know what you're doing. DKNY suits are navies, blacks, grays, charcoals. They're sensational. The shirts are whites and blues and beautiful patterns. The neckwear is very, very simple but very elegant. Right up my alley. I love those looks. And what they do for spring is they put in some shots of great color. It's simplistic but so practical. Pops of electric colors, sherbet, orange, watermelon, and lime. Just the right tone of soft colors to make those fashion products and those basic colors look outstanding. DKNY outerwear also is something to marvel at. You have the right piece of outerwear, it makes a statement. Simple, elegant, contemporary, and right, but it tells a story. And DKNY outerwear is amazing. The fall stuff was great. Now the follow-up for spring really, really looks sensational. You can find DKNY at Macy's or online. Go find it. I'm telling you, this is my recommendation. As I said, 9 years working there. I know how good it is.
Welcome back to Always in Fashion. Here's your host, Mark Weber.
Welcome to the good life.
And after all the talk, all I gotta say is,
welcome to the good life.
You're welcome. You're all welcome. Like we always do at this time. I go for mine. I get to shine. Now throw your hands up in the sky.
This is Mark Weber. And you're welcome. Tune into my show. I teach you how to be a better person. I teach you that success is always in fashion. Tonight's show, good isn't good enough. Do you believe that? I've never accepted that good is good enough. I strive for excellence. I don't want to be in second place. Second place is first place for losers. Good enough is lazy. And while you're being lazy, your competition is outshining you and outperforming you. I have always been, in my career, in the catbird seat, I have always been in the position where I had to critique other people's work. I've always been in a position, or at least since the 80s, where I was a pretty big shot, big title, that I was responsible. I took that responsibility very, very seriously. But part of that was I had to deal with people in my own companies and make sure that they recognized that good wasn't good enough. We had a reputation to make sure we were the best that we could be. You know, my son Jared followed me into this industry. It's a tough, daunting place for him to be. You know, I had such a long career and such big positions, and now he's in it. He's doing very well. And everywhere he goes, pretty much people, you know what they say, Jesse, about me?
Yeah, they say you're tough, but you're always fair.
I'll take that. I like that. Being great took priority. And I think they understood that I was tough, but I was trying to make them better. I wanted them to understand how serious I took the brands that I was involved with. If I was there, I wasn't lazy. I was there to be great. You come across my path, you have to try to be great. Your products had to look amazing. Your packaging needed to look like our brand. Our advertising needed to sparkle. I spent so much time thinking about advertising and marketing and how to make things special. Because if I didn't, someone else would. I don't care whether I sent you back 10 times to redo something you showed me. I don't care if I sent you back 100 times. If it made the company better, and it made you better, and it made our products better, I will live with the consequences. I said earlier, I live behind certain quotes. There's no substitute for good taste. Behind anyone with vision, there's 50 well-intentioned people undermining that vision. And well done is better than well said. And that, my friends, is a formula for success. Good isn't good enough tonight on Always in Fashion. Talk to you next week.
It feel like Atlanta, it feel like LA, it feel like Miami, it feel like NY. Summertime shy, ah.
Now throw your hands up in the sky.
So I rolled through good, y'all pop the trunk, I pop the hood for ride.
Thank you for joining Mark Weber and Always in Fashion. See you next week.